Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave.
Out there, and welcome to KYKN and our first Newsmakers broadcast. I'm Brent DeHart, and with me is Dave Bourne. Say hi, Dave.
Hello, hello, hello.
Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, we are the Newsmakers with you at noon. Now we're going to be every day handling local topics for the Salem Kaiser, for Polk County. We stretch out there to Rickreall, to Almsville, Independence, Salimity, all over the Mid-Valley, really. We'll call it the Mid-Valley, Dave. What do you think?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So we're going to talk about local issues here on Newsmakers. We're talking about individuals, institutions, initiatives. We're not going to be talking about the national topics. I think we all get enough of that. But we're going to talk about things that and focus on things that affect us, affect our businesses, affect our families and our communities. They're all within a shout's distance. So really great to be on the air here, Brent and Dave, KYKN Newsmakers. Our topics will include public safety and government, social issues, media, education, certainly the economy, one of my favorite topics, and some of my other favorite topics I'm sure will sneak in there, like dumb government stories. We're going to start collecting those for our listeners. Traffic and driving stories here in the Mid-Valley, and also, especially, some great things in our midst that are no longer covered by our local paper. Sometimes there's really great things happening in our community, and radio is the only way to get it out there and let people know. So, Dave Orp, hey, Dave.
Yes.
What kind of topics? What kind of topics do you like? What are we going to cover? You make sure we get on the agenda.
Well, I think one of the most important ones would be taxes.
Taxes.
You know, I can't believe that Oregon actually voted to tax food. That's kind of scary to me.
And with a supermajority for both houses, there is no stopping the tax train. This is true. There'll be a lot of things coming out of that capital.
The roads. Roads are important. Getting around.
Traffic.
Yeah.
Infrastructure is one of my favorite things because as we look at governance, infrastructure is top of the list on the role I think that they should do. So, excellent.
Yeah.
We're going to tackle it. Schools. All those institutions. So we're going to take calls. We're going to take suggestions from you, the audience, on topics you want to hear talked about, things you want exposed. We're going to have guests in most shows. So we'll call in. We'll have people to talk to. We'll pick a topic. And yes, confess, there will be ranting. No,
not you, Brent.
I am trying to avoid all the anger and indignation that we're going to hear at every turn from our social media and the national media. You know, we get a lot of that negativity already, and everybody's angry. So we're going to try to avoid that a little bit. But, you know, hey, we've got a show now, Dave. So
That's right. Every
now and then there's going to be a rant. So we're going to keep it a positive, though, a community show, common sense attitude, common sense focus, and we're going to start today with my friend and citizen extraordinaire, T.J. Sullivan's in the studio with us today.
Well, great. I'm glad to be here with your first show, man.
Well, happy to have you. Now, some disclosures for the audience here. T.J. I've known for a long time. We served together on Salem City Council back in the aughts.
Yeah.
The old days. And
The good old days.
And I've seen T.J. a time or two on the Little League field. I've seen T.J. Sullivan on the boards for the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce and serving our community all over the place. So let's get a quick introduction, if we could, to our guest today in the studios for Newsmakers is T.J. Sullivan. T.J., tell us a little bit about Huggins. You're the owner of Huggins and a partner in partnership with Bliss Sequoia.
Yeah. So Huggins Insurance, next year, which is right around the corner here, we'll be celebrating 100 years in business.
You look good, man.
Thank you. We got my fall season and everything. We're a full-service insurance agency. We do everything from home and auto to commercial insurance. Right now we're in the health insurance, and we're embroiled in that.
Oh, that's always good.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. Your costs are going up and your coverage is going down. Have a nice day.
Yes. Good message for all your clients. And,
right.
And by the way, it's changing every other week.
That's right.
Okay.
We are working with folks to help make wise decisions as they go through that cycle. But we always, our motto is we want to take great care of our community and we want to take great care of our clients.
Awesome. Well, I have TJ here to talk a lot about the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce, and we're going to get to that. Trust me. We have an hour here with you folks, and we're going to get to a lot of great things that we've seen happen in the last 15, 20 years. But one of the reasons I wanted you to talk about Huggins and Bliss Sequoia is that building downtown. And I think I will forever be grateful that you built that beautiful building along with, again, partners, but a beautiful building with that big display on the side.
Right.
And I remember when our conference center opened, 2003-ish, 4-ish. And boy, you looked out in that beautiful conference center, this butt ugly building. I'm sorry. Can I say that on radio, Dave?
Yeah.
Okay. Take so, yeah. And actually, that's what my kids called it.
But ugly?
Yes.
Nice. They,
yes.
The Pigeon Hotel.
So it was, and that has been torn down and now beautified, and that whole corner is really a great thing to see get developed in Salem.
Well, you know, it's part of the process that we started when we were on council, when we went to Boise Cascade, and we said, look, you know, having an industrial building in a downtown setting is so 1960s. And is there something that we can do to help spur some redevelopment here? And really, Janet Taylor, who was the mayor at the time, and of course, those of us on council in partnership with city staff, convincing Boise Cascade to put that property up, bringing in the Urban Land Institute. We had architects and engineers and planners from all over the world who came to Salem to look at that piece of property, and they kind of cast a vision. And then we took it out to the marketplace, and it's a significant piece of property, but it's also very hard to develop with all the chemicals that are in the ground and the way that it's shaped. And you got a state highway on one side, you mm-hmm. got the railroad on the other side, you got Mill Creek on another side, and so it's an incredibly difficult piece of property to develop. Larry Tokarski, to his credit, said, you know, I want to be involved in this, and you've seen what he's done with South Block,
with those getting, beautiful apartments.
Yeah And then when that the rest of the property where Parkfront sits right now was vacant for a number of years because of just how difficult it was to develop. And that was always kind of nagged at me because it was something that I felt like we had left unfinished from our time on council. And so when the opportunity arose to do something there, I just knew it was the perfect time for somebody like me who loves this town and wanted to see something happen there. And so it really worked out all the way around.
Oh, the building is gorgeous. And I will forever be grateful that you guys took, you know, roll the dice financially. And I know you had partners, and I also know that there was so much excitement about the project that you guys leased that sucker up, right?
Right. Yeah, we were 8 months to go, and we were full, which, you know, when you go into this and you start trying to borrow money and you're going into a bank and you tell them you're half full, they show you the door quickly. Mm-hmm. And again, that's the benefit of having a bank like Pioneer Trust Bank. And they were willing to work with us. They saw the potential for the site, and they saw that we were not going to do something third rate, that we were going to be building a quality building there, and it was going to be beautiful and a great addition to our downtown skyline. And so they were on board with us from the start. And you know, then it was just finding tenants. And I remember telling my parents, hey, I hope you still save some room for me just in case this doesn't happen. I may need to move in. But it worked out, and we're really pleased and grateful for a lot of the feedback that we've got from the community has been overwhelmingly positive on the addition of that building.
Indeed. And frankly, you know, maybe I'm a modern guy for an old guy, but I like the digital billboard. Yeah. I love the pictures you have of, you know, some Oregon pictures that you've shown, some community awareness pictures that you've shown. It's not just like we're going to advertise our business, and you've done a great job with that. And heck, it's downtown.
Yeah.
It's downtown. It's kind of exciting to have a digital billboard down there.
Yeah.
And yeah, kudos to that as well.
Well, I don't know if you know this or not about Oregon, but sometimes it gets a little gray here.
No. Yeah.
And so, you know, for maybe just for 30 seconds when you're stopped at a light, maybe there can just be one beautiful thing in that moment in your day with that gray landscape. So, you know, we wanted that to be another gift back to the city.
All right, listeners, so you're listening to Newsmakers and KYKN, and just if you didn't catch it, we're talking about Parkfront building down on Front Street by the river, and TJ Sullivan with Huggins and Bliss Sequoia Insurance, along with his other partners, and the building is full of great Salem businesses, Salem area businesses that have been around a long time, creating even more dynamics to our downtown core. All right, let's switch a little bit about TJ. And let's talk about the Chamber of Commerce. Now, this is the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce. Can you describe for listeners what that word area means to them?
Sure. I mean, it could be anything. We've got folks from Kaiser, Woodburn, Staten, but predominantly the Salem area is what we're concerned about. And Chambers of Commerce and a lot of municipalities are focused on tourism or economic development. And we've got great partners here in the city with Travel Salem and CIDCOR. We work hand in hand with them on a variety of issues. So that really leaves business promotion and business advocacy as the two reasons why we exist.
Right. And I remember our dear friend, Mike McLaren. Well, shout out to Mike. He always said, if you've seen one Chamber of Commerce, you've seen one Chamber of Commerce. And they're all a little bit different. So it's I appreciate you being here to describe what kind of beast we have here in Salem. Because some chambers of commerce and around the nation are simply visitor centers. And they're handing out brochures and things like that. And some of them, like you said, serve as an economic development arm. And we'll get into some of the things a little further on about all the different ways that the Salem Chamber serves the community. So the region, so Salem, Kaiser, Marion County, Polk County, anything that affects quality of life issues and the small business issues. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about your efforts with Downtown 365. I know you've been, for most people don't realize that TJ has a history and an education in downtown planning. So we're going to talk about Downtown 365 and Salem Main Street Association. Can you touch on that just a minute?
Sure, yeah. We started noticing that we were losing young people, both in terms of where they wanted to go on their weekends and then where they wanted to spend their lives. And I started talking to Michael Roth about it, and he said, I'm talking to my customers, and they tell me that, I'm asking where their kids are at, and they're saying, well, they one moved to Boise and one moved to, San Francisco, or one moved to L.A. or one moved to Seattle, mm-hmm. and nobody was staying. And so we had to start to work on our the image of our town and what we were doing. And there are all these businesses that were opening up in downtown Salem. You had millennials that were completely mortgaging their future. And so we wanted to come alongside them and basically help them find their way and make sure that they were successful. So
that's
how we started.
That sounds like a subject that we could spend an hour on.
Yeah.
So you promised to come back and talk about Salem Main Street Association and some of the things that are happening downtown.
Let's light this candle.
Let's do that again. We're going to come back here in just a few minutes and talk about the last 15 to 20 years and all the great things that have happened to Salem. We're going to list them off so you guys have a reason to be proud and excited about some of the momentum in the Salem area. So for now, come join us again in a minute. We're going to take a quick break at KYKN Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne.
Newsmakers continues with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Hello and welcome back, everyone. It's nice to have our friends here listening on KYKN Newsmakers, your local noontime talk show where we're going to tackle some noontime topics. Well, I guess topics for every time here in the local region. We've got in a studio with us TJ Sullivan. He's the current president, volunteer president, I may add, of the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce. I'm Brent DeHart, along here with Dave Bourne. And welcome to our first broadcast in Newsmakers. As I teased in the first segment, I want to talk about some of the fun things that I enjoy talking about, and that's what has happened in Salem in the last 15 plus years. I had the good fortune to serve the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce from 04 to 08. I was served with TJ Sullivan, and it was such a joy because so many good things were happening in the community, and they continued. And there are some detractors out there who didn't like the way the city was being managed, I suppose. And so I got to shout back at them, a little pushback at them. TJ, let's talk a little bit about the things that have happened since Janet Taylor was elected mayor, and then some new leadership came in, and some of that leadership was supported by the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce. Some of the initiatives were pushed by the Salem Area Commerce that I think we should be proud of. You game for that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hopefully you'll remember
my,
things.
It's my that, favorite you... topic, too. I took my ginkgo this morning. My memory's good.
So
feeling strong.
I had to remind somebody. Somebody got a bad taste in the mouth for the institution that we served there in the conference, in the chamber. And I said, well, you know, what is it exactly that could be negative? You know, did you mind when the Croc Center opened and served some lower-income people in our community with services and all that? Oh, no, that was good, the Croc Center. Well, okay, what was the chamber president? Kathy Goss, I believe, that pushed that forward. We're going to have her on the show in a couple of weeks, but along with, of course, Jerry Frank, and that was a huge community initiative that the chamber had a big part of. And I guess we should start with the convention center. Which has been an extraordinary success, right?
People griped about that. People griped about the Croc Center. You know, I remember the conference center, people getting up, counselors getting up and walking out on that because of the investment that was being made into that. And they felt, there's always this mantra that we could do it for less. We could do it. You'll end up with a shed eventually.
and he did say shed, people.
Yeah.
Shed.
Yep. And I'm just telling you that like with Parkfront, we wanted to build a nice, classy building, and that's why people came and invested in it as tenants. Same thing with the conference center. We wanted to build a beautiful building. Does it look like a traditional, historic-looking building in our downtown? No. It's a different-looking building. It's modern. It's sleek. It is full. And, you know, we set up a reserve fund because we were told, well, conference centers typically lose money. From day one, that conference center has been a moneymaker for the city of Salem. It brings people into our downtown core. It employs people, and it's never lost money.
And many thanks to Vips Industries for taking the role of managing that. And actually, the whole community, even the council prior to us, we can't take all the credit, but they envisioned a public-private partnership where we had a public asset there attached to a private hotel and a private management company. So it worked. It really worked. So the conference center has been incredible, bringing people in, getting conferences, getting visitors, and getting them out of other areas of our state, or even bringing them in from out of state. So huge to have it here in town. Great assets.
Well, and don't forget, we did Center 50 Plus.
Oh, yes.
At the same time that we were doing the Croc Center, and you had this great collection of folks in our community who, you know, are past the age of 50, 55. And, you know, as they start to get older and they maybe don't have kids in the area, the need for services for a lot of these folks, the only hot meal they're getting each day is at Center 50 Plus, but keeping them engaged and active. And they were in a facility that was frankly outdated. Mm-hmm. And we came along, and again, it was another public-private partnership as we spurred development in an area of town that needed development. We grew up as a city, which means that we didn't necessarily grow out. We took some pressure off of the fringes of our city, but we were able to give back to these folks that helped to build up Salem 30, 40 years ago. We were able to give back to them a gift. So not only were we taking care of low-income folks at the beginning end of the spectrum with the Croc Center, but we were also able to do something to help the folks at the other end of the age spectrum in our community. And a lot of that just goes, you know, unnoticed, or people look at that and go, well, I mean, that's not that big a deal. That's easy to do. It's really not.
No. It took a lot of effort and a lot of risk-taking and a lot of finagling back and forth to get that and get the housing that surrounds it. And first time I met you, actually, you were serving as chair or president of the senior advisory.
Friends of the Salem Senior Center.
That's right.
That was a rollicky group.
Yeah. That was great. I thought, what's TJ doing there? And then we found out. So
yeah.
That is true. Then we saw some urban renewal happen in the Broadway and market areas. Mm-hmm. So we've had, you know, the cinema, the building the cinema's in. I'm not sure what we call that. The building I still call YWCA building. Yeah. That housed a lot of women who were in need of some help. And, of course, where the Broadway Commons got built. And all three have seen great success. And we saw housing happen in that neighborhood, revitalizing that neighborhood, raising property values. And that all had to do, and not everybody loves the urban renewal tool, right? And I get its detractors, but boy, Salem has used it to some great effect.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's funny is when you were talking earlier about our detractors and people who complain about the Chamber of Commerce and they want to try and pigeonhole us as this group that only caters to developers. And so when you ask the same group of people, well, give me an example of town where you've seen some development that you think represents the kind of smart planning, urban, mixed use, you know, that kind of stuff, they always throw out Broadway. I'm like, really? That's funny, because that was really a project that our council pushed, and our council is the one that they say was the pro-development, pro-chamber council. And yet what we were really trying to do is try to create scenarios in all parts of town that would make it more livable. Mm-hmm. And you look at Broadway now, you've got Sackcloth and Ashes down there. You've got business happening with Broadway Coffee House. You've got the Salem Free Medical Clinic happening down there. But you also have got some new townhomes and restaurants. And as an area, you've got people that's not just, it's mixed income. So you have people who can start out life as a young couple, and they can stay in one neighborhood and move from, you know, apartment to townhome to home and stay in right there in the Grant neighborhood. And it's a fantastic place where nonprofit, public, private partnerships can happen to benefit the whole city.
Well, Dave, we'll have to list that as things to talk about in future shows as urban renewal.
Yes, absolutely.
Not every community uses the tool.
Right.
Salem does, and urban renewal and some other zones that can be used for economic development, and kind of go over the pros and cons of those. I'm going to list a few things here that we got through because we've only got 1 hour, for goodness sakes. But the railroad bridge.
Still pulling arrows.
Yeah, I voted no on that, I have to confess. I voted no on the railroad bridge. We bought it for $1, and then we spent, a couple million dollars. But what a beautiful asset that connects West Salem Park to the downtown park. It lights up and everything. The fire bond for new stations and new trucks was passed and pushed and supported by the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce and the leadership that they supported. We already talked about the South Block development, more people living downtown. A lot of things that misses are the boring things. Upgrades to sewer treatment, water treatment, reservoirs, and things like that. Police facility bond measure, the tree ordinance, the school district bond measure, the sidewalk program. It goes on and on. We're going to break real quick.
You got a lot to talk about.
We do. So we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about the chamber and its leadership and its organization and how it fits in our community. So you're listening to Newsmakers on KYKN 1430. Come back and join us after the break as we talk to T.J. Sullivan, current president of the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce.
And just a reminder that if you're listening for Kevin Jackson, he's now on from 1 to 3 weekdays here on 1430 KYKN.
This is Newsmakers with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart here with Dave, and we are on our first broadcast for Newsmakers on KYKN at the News Hour. If you're looking for Kevin Jackson, I'm sorry I'm not Kevin, but he will be on next hour. He's going to be on from 1 to 3 every weekday here on KYKN 1430. But for now, in this hour, we're tackling local topics, local issues, things of interest, and things that affect our lives here locally. I've got with us T.J. Sullivan, who's a good friend, in my opinion, one of Salem's finest civic servants, given endless number of hours to the community, and a lot of people don't realize that, have seen him as close up as I have. So welcome, TJ.
Thanks.
It's nice to have you
very
here.
Kind.
I
Thank
apologize
you.
For saying nice things about you. I know you're very
I'm
humble.
I'm used to that.
You're very humble, yeah. I know TJ not only for city councilor and now president of the Chamber of Commerce, lead of the Civic Senior Center Citizen Effort, but also a Little League coach. And it's a joy to watch him with kids. TJ, if you do not know TJ Sullivan, he's got an irreverent sense of humor, and you never know what might come out.
I always tell the boys that we're out here to have fun, and if we're not winning, we're not having fun.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You can all just go home sad if you lose.
Right.
That's not true at all.
No.
He's a great asset to our community. So it's nice to have you here on our very first Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. We're talking about the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce and its long history, and we're limited to our hour here, but I wanted to finish up our list of things that have happened, great things, and in many ways we're living in Salem area's golden age. If you look just at the totality of the number of projects and initiatives that have been occurring in the last 15 plus years, we went over some of them. The police facility bond measure cannot be understated, and we'll have the police chief on in a week or so, and he'll talk about the progress there. And that, you know, TJ chaired that community committee to get that done, and that was making sausage. A lot of community, a lot of community confusion and disgruntlement and back and forth on that. But we got it passed, and it's going to be a great asset as well. More recently, an LED streetlights program will cut our power bill to the city so they can spend more money on sidewalks and roads and other things like that. The new Minto Riverfront Park Bridge. And again, not everybody was for that and looks spectacular, a nice addition to our riverfront park. Back about 10 years ago, we passed a $100 million bond measure for streets and bridges and improvements. And, you know, sidewalk people got sidewalks and
infrastructure.
Infrastructure. Yeah, we were talking about
that. What a concept.
And just before the break, I was talking about how something that kind of went under the radar, the treatment reservoirs and sewer treatment. Of course, we had a little problem this summer. I heard there might have been a problem with water. However,
just a little.
There was extraordinary infrastructure improvements in those reservoirs.
Absolutely.
And capping them and adding to the capacity. And of course, the Career Tech School, which honestly we don't have time to touch today, so we will have that on another show. And urban renewal projects, Gateway. On Portland Road and what that looks like, the southern part of Portland Road, and of course downtown, too numerous to mention. Let's talk a little bit about the chamber, TJ.
Okay.
So you're the current president. You serve a one-year term.
Yeah.
The board is, what, 23 people, and this executive committee.
21 people right now, but yeah.
21 people. And are the things that the chamber is looking at in ways to improve Salem, what's their agenda?
Sure. Well, obviously, C-Tech is something that we take a lot of pride in. The Inspire Foundation, Kathy Moore, the work that we're doing. Again, public-private partnership. We work very closely with the school district. Business needs kids to be graduating or getting into the trades. And we need them to be graduating, but we need them to either be going to college or getting into the trades. And one of the things we identified was that there was a real shortage. In 2008, 2009, we went through a recession countrywide. We saw a lot of people that were in the construction industry that were deciding to hang it up. And there has been a real lack of folks that are trained in that arena. And some local business people, Larry Tukarski specifically, identified that and bought some property and worked with the school district to create a program to get kids out and into these jobs. And, you know, I was just talking to a mom the other day whose son graduated and he became a welder, and he was making $45 an hour upon graduation.
From high school. Without going to college. Amazing.
Right. And so it's a fantastic program. And some of the numbers, you know, when Oregon trails the rest of the country in our graduation rate. And it's amazing when you look at what the graduation rate is when a kid takes one C-Tech class. It's like 87%. And when they go through the C-Tech program, their graduation rate is 93%, wow, which is much higher than what our state average is. And so clearly it's having an impact. And when you go into that C-Tech program, the kids are so excited to be there. It's just fantastic to be around them. So that's something that obviously as a Chamber of Commerce, investing in our next generation, something we're interested in.
And for our listeners, C-Tech, Career Tech, I know we used to call it shop back in the day, but things having to do with the trade skills that they'll need to have a job. You know, we were graduating people, Dave, you're not going to believe this, we were graduating people that did not know how to read a tape measure.
What?
Yeah, so the contractors.
That's
in
hard
the area,
to build stuff.
You know, no skills, much less.
Wow. I thought they were walkie-talkies.
And, yeah. So now there is construction and there's
law enforcement.
Yeah.
There's
everything.
There's six programs there now. And so, I mean, the school's full. There's a waiting list of kids that want to get in. And it's just a great program. And again, it's something that the Chamber of Commerce and business leaders in our community identified and then worked with Christy Perry at the school district. And you can't say enough about her leadership. And when we were successful on council, we were successful because we were working with the business community. Mm-hmm. We were working with the Chamber of Commerce. And, you know, there have been people that come in and they want to, part of the reason why you want to vilify the chamber is to scare people into voting for you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's really nothing to be afraid of. I've heard from numerous people that I'm an evil person, which is always amazing to me, because I always think I might be the nicest person ever.
Well,
but
I don't think anyone's ever said that about you.
Yeah.
Actually, no.
But there is this perception out there that because you own a business that somehow you don't care. And actually, as a business owner, we need to have peace in our community. We need to have livability in our community in order for there to be discretionary income. And as a Chamber of Commerce, that's what we're pursuing.
Amen. And for a healthy business community, healthy throughout the region, you know what we need? We need quality of life issues. So we need a good education system. And nobody understood that more than the leadership that we grew up with, that it had to be infrastructure. We had to have streets and bridges so that we did not have traffic snarls. We had to have a good education system. And so all of these and we had to have a good park system. We had all of these things so that people want to live here, and we can recruit doctors here. We can recruit engineering firms here. We can recruit educated our kids after they get educated back here. So absolutely right. As far as Chamber is not just about business and commerce and profit, but it's about all those issues that makes for a healthy community. Now I'm sounding like in a commercial. All right, sorry. Do feel passionate about the work you guys are doing. So Kathy Moore, you mentioned.
Yeah.
So the Leadership Foundation, she's running that. A lot of grants. It's a nonprofit, 501c3. They're involved in leadership of all kinds, right?
Yep, leadership youth, leadership for adults, just helping people who are in business understand what's happening in our community. And, you know, there's... And a healthy economy is this great ecosystem, and you need to have multiple things happening there. And really, the successful businesses are the drivers, but then we need to be investing back into our schools and into our nonprofits and into the arts. And so Kathy fits a piece of that with the investment of tying all those different things together for people so that kids can see how interconnected their community is. Mm. You kill off one piece of that and you lose livability inside your community. And her, along with Nick Williams, who has been at the Chamber now for 6 years and has announced for health reasons, family reasons, he's going to be stepping down at the end of this year. So we're in a transition there. You know, we faced challenges before. You know, we had Mike McLaren, who everybody thought was the greatest CEO in the history of Chambers, and he left. And then Jason Brandt came in, and Jason did a fantastic job. And then he left. Everybody kept saying, well, how are we ever going to get by? And you know, we've done a good job. We grew our membership last year, the best membership year we've had in a long, long, long time. And we're getting great feedback from the folks that we represent that tell us that we're doing a good job.
So let's go back to the board a little bit, because I look at the website and I look at who's serving on the board of directors, and I continually be impressed by the breadth of talents you have in there and some people that are very busy people. And representing Salem Health, representing a small employer, kind of all over the board, but people who are donating their time. And that's why I'm not worried about the transition, because you have such great leadership, yourself included, and people who will follow you. Because it's 165 years old or something, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, make no mistake about it. I mean, Nick Williams is a son of a nutcracker for leaving. I was so excited to be chamber president with him as CEO. But I totally get he is leaving for all the right reasons. He's leaving the organization better than how we found it, which is always the goal. Anytime you take over anything, or in my year as president, that's what I want to do. And I hope Bruce Anderson, who's going to succeed me, is going to do the same, make it better than how we found it. And so, you know, we're out. We're looking for a CEO. The good news is there's lots of qualified people who have come forward and said, yeah, I want to be part of this great team, this great organization, and have thrown their hat in the ring. So I know that the next person that we get to lead us is going to be a dynamic person who's going to help us get to the next level.
Awesome. So the Chamber sometimes gets painted as about big business, and you and I know that is not right. KYKN is a local small business, employs a handful of people, and most of the Chamber of Commerce, most of your members are small as well, correct?
Yeah, Salem is a small business community. We do not have that one large employer that kind of dwarfs everything. Even our big employers like Kettle Foods, you know, is not that big of an employer.
Garmin,
you know, these are all important to the cog, but they're not, you know, employing 10,000 people. They're, you know, we're a government town with a lot of small businesses.
One thing that we have seen happen, and we'll talk about this in a further show about economic development, is the diversification of the economy. And we've seen Amazon making an announcement to come in and making an investment in the area. And we had the Home Depot. And, of course, Garmin has done expansion, and Kettle Foods, and NORPAC has made investments in Willamette Fruit and so forth. So the more diverse the economy is the message. It's like the more recession-proof you are.
Right.
Because one industry can have a fall, but you still have a lot of other employment bases. So, and going back to employment and the kids in the community, people have no idea how much we integrate in terms of with the kids in the community, workforce development. And it's not just CTech. Some programs that Kathy Moore runs there.
Yeah. We're just getting kids, teaching them how to go in for an interview, teaching them how to put together a resume, building in a work ethic to them so that when they show up that they have this attitude of, I'm going to do more than what's expected. And, you know, I get a chance to interview millennials all day long, and their attitude towards work is different than what my attitude as a Gen Xer is different than what a baby boomer's attitude is. And so some of this is helping them understand the importance of coming in and looking people in the eye and shaking their hand and yes, sir. And, you know, answering questions, you know, with your head up and not your head down, and putting your phone away and not looking at it while you're, you know, integrating into a work environment. So Kathy's done a great job putting together these programs, and it's been a real blessing back to the Chamber of Commerce and to the community.
Yeah, I know we've put people into schools to be guest speakers, and we do mock interviews. I participated in some of those where we're interviewing kids for the first time to get them over that hump. So we're going to talk in our last segment a little bit about who we vote for in the area and who's serving on the city council now, what their kind of initiatives are, and how we need to pay more attention to that and what involvement and interest the Salem area Chamber of Commerce has in that. We've talked about what's happened in the last 15, 20 years, and it's been incredible. And so we're looking forward to talking about what's coming up. And actually give the audience a little bit of information on who's sitting at a city council. There's 9 votes on there, 8 councilors and the mayor, and the things that we need to pay attention to make sure we continue in this golden age of Salem. So 1430 KYKN, we thank you for listening. This is Salem Newsmakers at the Noon Hour. Salem is listening.
Newsmakers continues with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
All right, Dave, keep that running a little bit. That's a favorite song out there. Shout out to my 35th birthday present. Alec DeHart was born on my 35th birthday, and he loves that song. Don't stop believing. And we're going to not stop believing here in Salem, Kaiser, and the surrounding area. Brent DeHart here with you with Dave Bourne on Newsmakers. If you're looking, they're looking for Kevin Jackson. Kevin Jackson is still on KYKN, but now 1 to 3. So tune in to the next hour to get your dose and your fix of Kevin Jackson. But we're going to be with you every weekday on Newsmakers at the Noon Hour. My name is Brent DeHart. Dave Bourne?
Yes, sir.
Great to have us as a team here. We're going to bring in a lot of interesting people for our region to talk to us. And today we have TJ Sullivan. Good friend to the community. And we've been talking about the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce. We've been talking about fantastic things that have happened in the region in the last 15 plus years. Now we're going to talk a little bit about leadership. Leadership in the area and how it affects what's going on. Because we're talking at the break about how people get elected by choosing a villain. You need me to protect you from.
Right.
And I don't like that. I hope most voters don't, but we do tend to respond as a voting public to, oh, well, those people are bad, so I need this person to protect us from that, whether it's from the right or from the left. But in this case, some people got elected to the Salem City Council by painting the Salem Chamber as something that it's not. And to me, it is the most pro-Salem institution that exists. We did disagree in public policy on some items like how to fund public transit. Yep. And hopefully we'll have public transit on in a future show. We're keying up a lot of shows coming up, but that has now gone so that they're going to get additional funds out of the state legislature and a payroll tax. But, so we can disagree on a public policy, but still there isn't anything more pro-Salem, than the chamber.
Yeah. You know, the transit measure, it wasn't that we disagreed with the need. We agreed that the need was there. It was just that how do we pay for it? And, you know, right now we've got a state government and frankly a city government that anytime there's a budget shortfall, they just turn and say, well, business can simply pay more. That's the easiest way to go about this. And when you're talking about things that are broad-based that support the whole community, looking at a narrow segment and saying, well, you have to pay because you employ people, is ridiculous. And so, you know, is one of the things that I always tell people is nobody really pays attention to what's going on the city council level or who the city councilors are. They just expect you to show up and make wise decisions. And it really shouldn't be a hard thing. We employ a lot of good people at the city that spend their work day every day studying different issues and coming forward with good recommendations on how we're going to go about solving problems in our community, both now and into the future. And one of those problems is, how do you move goods and services and people around in an orderly format in a town that's growing? People mm-hmm. want to live here. And Portland's priced themselves out of the marketplace. And so a lot of folks that are working in Portland are choosing to live further and further south. Salem offers a lot of great amenities. Our downtown is thriving. Basil and Board is getting ready to open, the newest hot restaurant that's going to be open to the public. And so you're seeing more and more people who want to live here, but maybe work up in Portland. And so as we grow as a city, we need to make sure that our infrastructure investment is keeping up. And so, you know, one of the things that's happening right now with city council, we have a group of people there, a majority, that do not want to give you as a voter an opportunity to have any kind of a say as it relates to another bridge across the Willamette. They're trying to keep this issue suppressed in the most non-transparent way possible so that they can just hopefully let this issue die, and the majority of people in Salem won't even know that this issue is dead, and it's dead at the hands of five people on the city council.
Yeah, and we're looking at more and more gridlock and gridlock into the future. We're going to be a generation past. I mean, I'm going to be in the grave before we build this bridge unless they do take some action. And the travesty of it is we've been studying this for 15 years. I remember Dan Clem telling me back in 2005-ish that, hey, it's going to take 10 or so years to get this thing built.
It takes
a generation to get it built. So the whole region has spent $8 million, and it's Salem and Kaiser and Polk County and Marin County and ODOT and the federal money, which we might have to get back. Whole nother topic. But unless they take some actions to firm this up, they're going to throw that all away, and we will not see another bridge across the Willamette for a long, long time. Really quickly, it's T.J. Sullivan here in the studio with us on Newsmakers, president of the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce. The things that this current leadership is doing, and people pay attention, I think, is your message to who you're voting for. They're talking about bag bans. They're talking about some national issues and immigration issues. They're talking about paying what was a volunteer or is a volunteer council position and an alternative revenue task force, which, of course, means more taxes. What's your message out to the voters while we still have them on listening?
Well, I think that the issue for them is you need to pay attention to what's happening at city council right now. It's not things that are not healthy or in the best interest of our community. And right now we're prospering as a country, and that is finding its way into Salem. But what we need to worry about is when we're not in a booming economy, how are we still growing jobs? How are we still making investments in our community like we did in 2008 and 2009? And right now the people that we have there are not capable of making that happen.
TJ, I am humbled by your servanthood, honestly. And the people, I just laugh out loud at silly bloggers that might disagree with us just because they're trying to find a villain. And like we've talked about in the show, I'm sitting next to a man who's given more of hours of his life and his expertise than anyone I know. And I appreciate you coming on the show.
Well, I'm glad to be here on your first show,
our initial
man.
Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, Newsmakers at the Noon Hour. What a delight it is to have you in our community and be doing positive things and to have you serving the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce and letting the public know through the broadcast of all the great things that are happening.
Awesome. It's great to be here.
TJ, thank you so much. We'll see you tomorrow. We got more topics on Newsmakers, 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.